every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAJAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHACGA or SMART.
Are any of them there, guys?
Nope. None of the Anons or none of them there, guys. All the stuff you hear is our opinion and ours alone, which is probably a good thing. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Shelly, feeling a wee bit under the weather. She is smoking a vape. If no one knows what a vape is, it's just a new way to smoke crack cocaine.
Yes, clearly.
And the drugs are finally kicking in for her.
Yes, the Benadryl in my ears started ticking a few seconds ago.
Now, the vape, Shelly, give everyone, I'm sure there's people out there that don't know what a vape is. Tell them what a vape is.
Basically, it's an electronic cigarette. It's got liquid in it. And the liquid contains nicotine, but it doesn't have any tar or the other crap that cigarettes have. It's just nicotine. And when you inhale it, there's a little burner inside of it that vaporizes the liquid, and you inhale nicotine just like you do with a cigarette. But what you exhale is basically water vapor. Fruity-smelling water vapor, actually, because mine is pineapple mint.
And people are already getting down on that, right? Like you don't want you smoking them inside, even though it's not really smoke?
A lot of places don't want you to because, like, specifically if you're at a club. Oh, ow, ringing in my ear.
I heard the two.
Yeah, I thought it was the church.
Very funny.
How you doing, Quasimodo?
If you're at a, you know, if you're at the club and there's, you know, 80 people at a meeting and 40 of them have vapes and they all have different scents, can you imagine sitting in a room with that many smells going around?
You say that. I got to tell you, though, like when I'm sitting out here, I couldn't tell you the smell you're smoking right now.
Well,
I have no idea.
Bruce, it smells like cigar in this entire room.
Yeah, because you have
room,
a giant cloud of cigar smoke right around you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because I don't smell the smell when you're smoking it.
You and I are both smoking cigars. Her vape isn't going to even penetrate.
Nope. Because it's a really mild smell, but when you get enough of it in one room, a closed room, it gets a little, because remember the night we were at the one meeting and I was like, what is that smell? Because it smelled like rotten fruit because someone had a particularly pungent vape going.
Ah. Now, Mark, do any of your kids ever smoke hookah?
I own 3 hookahs.
Do they smoke them?
Yeah.
Like the ones that you go to a hookah lounge to smoke with different flavors of tobacco and all that. Because that's a real popular thing. And I went to do it with my daughter and her now husband. I got to tell you, I'm smoking this thing. It was like I was smoking air. And the guy goes, really? That one's really strong. He's like, do you smoke? I go, I smoke cigars. And he goes, no wonder. He goes, yeah, you're probably not going to really taste it much. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okie dokie.
You know what that means.
Tell us, Bruce. Tell us.
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okie dokie. Now, let's see where we are now.
We're here.
Laguna Beach.
I'm pretty sure where I am now, Shelley.
Okay, the next story gets a shout-out to Bill. To which I have appended.
Congratulations to Bill.
Yes. Oh, happy birthday.
He just celebrated seven years sober.
Woot. Bill and I are both October babies. October 2006.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, I wrote Bill here. Bill, or Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill P. I wrote Poothead next to his name.
Why?
Because he sent me a story about a shark, and of course, I just click into it. Did a gigantic picture of a shark right in front of my face. Scared the crap out of me.
I watched during Shark Week, you watched an entire show about...
But I wasn't expecting
petting
it.
Petting great white sharks' bellies and making them go to sleep.
I know, but I wasn't expecting it. I just clicked into it without looking at the header or anything.
You know what the tough part about that is? If you got a great white shark that isn't tired.
Yeah. It was the weirdest thing. Put him in stasis.
Tonic.
Tonic,
called it.
Whatever. It was weird.
Anyway, Jeff Horton is a surfer in Hawaii. He was surfing around Kilauea. He saw a fin in the water. Uh-oh. But then, you know, the fin disappeared. He didn't think that much of it because he didn't really get that good of a look at it. So 15, 20 minutes passes. He's got his legs in the water. He's sitting on his surfboard. He notices a dark shape coming toward him. And at first he thought it was a stingray. But then he realized that it was a shark. He pulled his legs out of the water up onto the surfboard right as a giant tiger shark bit into his surfboard. And that knocked him off the board on top of the shark.
Did he surf? If he surfed the shark.
No. He did not.
I'm going to call him the hero of the century.
He jumped the shark.
He jumped the shark.
He landed on top of the shark. What he did was grab the fin and with his other hand started trying to punch the gills in the eyes.
You know what they call him today? Lefty.
Yeah.
No. He's fine, actually.
Okay.
He started punching as hard as he could around the gills and the eyes. He finally got a really good shot right into the shark's eye that made the shark buck and swim away.
He made the shark blink.
Then he scrambled back to his board, and the other surfer that was around probably taking pictures, I'm sure, because that's what people seem to do in times of crisis these days. Quick, get out the camera.
Instagram.
They paddled back to shore. They barely made it back because the shark started coming back around toward him.
Yeah, he was pissed because they punched him.
And he now has a 7-foot surfboard with a giant shark bite out of it.
You know what? That... You can't buy a board like that. No. That's chick heaven for that guy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the time I beat the shark off me.
Yeah.
And Bill put a little header on his thing that said, "Oh, poor shark, you're getting beaten up by the surfer."
Well, you know what? That's what you're supposed to do is if you get attacked by a shark, you're supposed to punch him in the gills because you can drown him.
I thought you were supposed to knock the other guy off his surfboard.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I was just chumming.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if a syringe was falling from the sky, I'd push you in front of me.
How fast do you have to paddle to get away from a shark? Just a little faster than you.
Yeah.
We've got another one from Bill, and this one might be a little bit loaded.
Oh.
You know how everybody's having a little bit of trouble signing on to the new healthcare marketplace, the federal one.
A little bit. That's cool.
Well, those who are getting through are also having a little bit of trouble with creating their security question passphrases.
There's no security on this site.
Because, well, there are. You're supposed to pick, there's like 25 questions that you can choose from. You're supposed to pick 3 questions that are your security questions. And then you type in the answer to that question. You know how, you know, you go to a website, it asks you what, you know, like, what's your mother's maiden name or your, you know, the color of your dog's leash or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well,
don't pick the one. Who did you vote for in the last election? Unless it was Obama.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll never get on the site.
Well, the problem is that whoever has created these 25 questions that you can only choose from those 25. You can't make up your own. Has picked things that the baby boomers are saying. I can't remember back that far. How the heck am I supposed to know this stuff? Questions like, who was the manager at your first job? What was the name of the street you lived on in the third grade? I'm wondering, what was your youngest child's birth weight? What color was your very first bicycle? What's your significant other's favorite color? I don't know what Bruce's favorite color is.
Yes, you do.
Yellow.
No.
I think you pick whatever 3 questions you want. You answer them all with swear words. I just remember which words they were.
Well, that's what I'm
because how do they know?
Right.
What was your favorite color?
Shit.
Well, this has people so upset that they leave the website, call the 800 number, and try to sign up that way.
What did your baby weigh? Shit.
Because they don't know what to put for the answers for these things. I'm like, so make the answer up. It's a security question. Are people that really that dumb?
Yes.
Yes.
Yikes. Brian sent the next one in.
Who's Brian?
He's Brian. This story is
Brian.
The Brian.
The Brian.
The Brian.
The Brister.
This story is out of Salt Lake City.
Utah.
Yes, there have been a flurry, it says in the story, a flurry of Bigfoot headlines. There are some researchers that in Provo, because of the whole, I can't even talk now. Recently posted to YouTube, there was, I don't know if you saw it, there was like supposed video footage of Bigfoot in Provo Canyon.
I have not seen it, but I will go look for it directly
yes,
after the shows tonight.
Well, apparently it has increased the number of so-called Bigfoot sightings. Well, right around this,
that guy sure gets around.
Yeah, he does.
He has big feet. He can walk fast.
Right around this time, there's a professor of human genetics at Oxford University. His name's Brian Sykes.
That's the Brian.
Well, it's not the Brian, but it's a Brian.
It could be the Brian.
He's been conducting tests, DNA tests on what people are saying is physical evidence of Bigfoot. He managed to
like
put out a call.
Or stool or
yeah, he managed. He put out a call saying, "Send us, you know, samples of anything that you think is related to a Yeti or a Bigfoot or anything like that."
It's a gigantic box. He's like, "What the hell is this?" It's
no,
an
no,
entire one.
He only got 30 samples sent to him, so he's got a small pool 30? To work with. 30 samples. They're mostly hair samples. Quite a few from the Himalayas. One actually came from a tab of acid. One actually came from
Bigfoot,
that Yeti mummy from Bhutan. Now he's done the DNA things. He could not find a genetic link to humans or to any other living mammal.
So there wasn't like bear on any of them?
On any of them. But he compared the DNA to a bigger like database, and he found that it matched the DNA samples that they took from a prehistoric type of polar bear found in Norway. That's very weird.
I won't believe it until those monster guys go looking for it. The UFO guys, monster guys. Whatever that flipping show is.
Guys on Monster.
Let's see. This one's from Donald.
Hey, Donald.
Wait, now, what did he do? Curtis W. Croft. He's 50 years old. He was bragging. Apparently, he's the dumb Facebook criminal of the week. He was bragging about all of the pot that he was growing on his property.
Oops.
That's a special kind of stupid.
Yeah. Now, in Oregon, you are allowed to grow there are five people living in his house. You're allowed to grow six plants per person in Oregon.
I know. You know what's incredible about that? Do you know how much weed you can get off six plants?
Enough.
You get stoned for a year by yourself for sure.
Okay, well, he was registered
That's
to grow
idea.
For five people because there were five adults living in the house, which is 30 plants. Authorities, hearing these reports of how much gargantuan ganja he was growing on his property, prompted them to use Google Earth to zero in on his property. They actually didn't bother to like drive over there. They just
Google
logged
Earth
into
is
Google.
Ridiculously good for that.
One of my roommates would be Sybil.
What they ended up seizing was 94 plants based on the images that they got off of Google Earth.
Wow.
Yeah. He was growing just a few too many.
Aren't you supposed to grow them in your basement or something? Actually, though, you can't grow that many in your basement. Not that I would know.
Not unless you've got a really big basement.
Or a really great power system.
Yeah, they usually, if you're, well, when I used to live in Oregon, there were many people that grew stuff. And they had these things, they look like lamps plus, but it was all for grow systems. And one of the biggest selling items they had there? 5-horsepower
generators.
Because if you are just running that many lights on your regular electric bill, that tips them off pretty fast.
Interestingly enough, I read an article, and I can't remember where it was, but I linked to it from the page I Fucking Love Science on Facebook.
Which is a great page, by the way.
It's an awesome page. Marijuana growers, clandestine marijuana growers, are indirectly responsible for most of the bona fide research done in hydroponics. So people that, you know, are growing pot, they're using hydroponics. That whole hydroponics thing got a huge boost from marijuana growers because they were doing it. So the products, they had a market, and the more products there are, the more people are going to use it. So now better ways of doing, of growing food hydroponically has come about because all of these pot growers.
Which is a good thing because
makes sense.
People are hungry.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the weed smokers could only figure a way to grow Oreos, they'd be set.
Cheetos.
Yeah.
Oreos aren't a natural food substance, though. You can't really grow them.
Yep. Come on.
If I can grow Cheetos and pot.
Didn't you ever read didn't you ever read the book Balloon Farm?
Yes, we read it ad nauseum.
Okay, well.
And
you
the
can
last
grow anything if you can grow balloons.
The last story for tonight is also from Brian.
It's the Brian Show.
It's the Brian Show. Now, he put a little blurb in his thing when he sent me the link. It says, so if a bullet is shot in the air, does it really come down at the same speed? Maybe Bill P. knows. But I'll ask
no.
Mythbusters, he says.
It doesn't.
This is in Layton.
There's a certain, just so you know, there's a certain amount of speed that something can fall at, and I'm positive it's not as fast as it comes out of the end of a bullet.
Okay, I can't. I'm trying to find where Layton County is, and I've forgotten where this story came from. I want to say Washington, but I could be wrong. Anyway, Brandon Brown and Christopher Church, both of Layton, are in their 20s, were arrested. Basically, they were arrested on counts of aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, possession of a firearm by an intoxicated person, and discharging a firearm within city limits. Basically, they got drunk and started shooting in the air multiple times. Bang, 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 bang. And the police were concerned because they didn't seem to have any thought for where those bullets were going to come back down. And there have been some rather surprised property owners lately. Fortunately, no one was injured. But how'd you like to go out to, like, you know, go out to your tool shed to get some tools and there are a bunch of holes in the roof? So
I wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But that was where, I mean, yeah.
So special kind of stupid.
Yes. When they were arrested, they were in the midst of another portion of their little shooting spree. Fortunately, they just kept shooting up in the air. Also in the car was one of their 17-year-old girlfriends, and both of them are in their 20s, so
oops.
Somebody might be in trouble.
Yeah. At the cost of ammunition nowadays, why would you shoot bullets into the air?
Yeah, especially since it's so hard to get.
Yeah.
The 17-year-old girl was not arrested because apparently she told the cops what idiots they were, and she was refusing to be involved in this, which is why she wouldn't get out of the car until the cops showed up.
Oh, well, good for her.
Okay.
And that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College
at SoFullHappens.com.
So, we've done
12
all
of the
steps except one.
Yeah.
The infamous step 13.
Which is really not a step.
Shelly, tell us. I saw a meme the other day. It had Keanu Reeves on it. It goes, oh, what if the step 13 was real and Bill just forgot to write it down? So, Shelly, what is step 13? What is the 13th step?
Well, there isn't one. But you know, some people say that the 13th step is going out snagging a newcomer.
Snagging?
Shagging.
Shagging.
Shagging a newcomer?
Banging. Sexually harassing, molesting, intimidating, scaring the crap out of.
Yeah, I don't think it's sexually harassing.
Shelly obviously has an opinion about this.
Sometimes it is harassment.
I think it's banging a newcomer.
Okay, then why don't you discuss this? Well, discuss amongst yourselves.
Discussed.
I used to tell my sponsees, get in as many relationships as you can in the first year. Because there's a lot of growth in pain. So you're either going to grow or you're going to go, one or the other. Kind of goes back to the whole reason why we don't suggest people get together is because two pieces of wet spaghetti do not make a very good rope.
If you tie them together tight enough, they might.
Oh, it gives them just enough rope to hang themselves
with.
That's
right.
Possibly. Mark, what's your opinion on the step 13?
You know, I had a guy that I sponsored, and he was relatively new, and he was asking me about the 13th step, because he was actually being 13th step by a couple of females at a meeting he went to, and which he wasn't complaining about, mind you.
Mark applauded.
Yeah. And I jokingly said to him, look, the best thing to do is go to young people's meetings and help these young girls in their recovery. Not thinking he was going to say that to the sponsor of one of the girls that he was talking to.
Oh, my God.
What kind of phone call did that generate?
Oh, I got all kinds of ugly.
I'll bet you did.
I'm like, I was kidding. Settle down. Rule 62.
Yeah, rule 62.
Apparently he didn't think you were kidding.
No, because he went to the young people's meeting the next day.
Wow.
Finally, you know, direction you
can
follow.
Yeah, he took that direction. All the other stuff he ignored, took that direction to heart.
I bet he didn't write his step, though. Hey, where's that step work? Oh, I went to the newcomer meeting.
Yeah.
To help all the young girls.
Yeah.
I got 13-stepped when I was living on the roof of the club by a gal with like 16 years or something. Let me drive her Corvette.
Does she have trouble climbing the ladder?
No, because she talked me down at a meeting.
Wait a minute. So she 13-stepped you, but you got to drive her Corvette.
Uh-huh.
That's not the 13th step. That's a fair exchange of goods and services.
Oh, look at Shelly.
For a guy.
Look at Shelly. We exchanged more than that.
How'd you do parking?
And you know what? The bottom line is, I stayed sober. Matter of fact, I gave her a Serenity injection.
Yeah, but isn't it a little bit uncomfortable doing that sort of thing in a Corvette?
No, we went to her house.
Oh, okay, never mind.
So, let's get to the real topic on this thing, though. What about the creepsters?
Oh, and they are legion. Because you get sober doesn't mean you're not still an asshole.
Yeah.
I think George Carlin put it best. Just because you got your monkey off your back doesn't mean the circus has left town.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some creepsters.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I've told guys before when I say, you know what, my suggestion is you don't date when you're new. By the same time, it is also not my job to tell you when you meet the right person. You know what? I'm here to help you through the steps. It's kind of an outside issue from the steps, but my suggestion is that AA experience and NA experience and CA experience shows that hooking up in your first year is not a good idea, whether it's with someone else who's new or whether it's with someone with time.
Boy meets girl in detox.
Yeah.
There's a car wreck.
I actually had a guy I was sponsoring. Went out, came back in, went into detox, met the love of his life. She taught him how to shoot heroin.
Oh, nice. Do we know this guy?
Yeah.
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 I tell sponsees that I'm not your relationship counselor. I'm, like you said, I'm just taking you through the steps. However, invariably, the girls say, oh, I met this guy. I'm like, oh, crap. And then when things get pear-shaped, which they always do. They come to me. They're all upset. They want suggestions. And I keep telling them, you need to do what's right for you. I don't think it's a good idea, but, you know, well, just tell me what I should do. And one of my sponsees, I actually said, why should I tell you what I think you should do? Because no matter what I suggest, you're going to do whatever you want to do anyway. And she said, no. I really want your opinions. What do you really think? And I told her, I think that you are making a bad decision. You're going to get loaded. No.
Oh.
I think you're making a bad decision. You're going to get loaded. Guess what? She didn't. And I said, you need to focus on your steps, your step work, go to meetings, do what you're supposed to do. She didn't listen to me. No. She didn't listen to me. She went back out. Exactly what I said was going to happen happened.
L?
Wow.
Just stop.
Bam. I got 6 months.
Oh. Well, you never know. Shelly's had a few.
Shelly's the only one who could have a few of those.
She had one who rocked right through her recovery, did everything perfect, just railed through her steps. And the guy thing was just a non-discussable issue for her.
Yeah, how's she doing?
She's doing fine,
great.
Actually.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't know how the guy's doing, but she's doing fine.
She's handling that very maturely.
How's he handling it?
Lee said soonest mended on that subject. Okay. She is doing a great job.
Okay.
He's another matter entirely.
So, let's say, what is your normal thing that you say to sponsees about, they say, man, I met this chick, she's hot. I got 15 days, she's hot. She wants me to meet her at the dance.
Bang-a-ring.
I'm bored, I want to have sex.
Yeah, you're bored, you want to have sex, fine. Don't get in a relationship.
I know, but that doesn't work for the females, Ed.
I'm not sponsoring the female. That's your issue.
Well, and I always tell them stay away from the guys.
That's right. If the girls listened to their sponsors, they'd be a lot better off. That's why it's easier for guys to stay sober in this program than women.
Well, a lot of times I'm specifically warning them away, though, from the people that we're talking about, the creepsters. That they're guys that are going to prey on you if you let them.
Yeah.
The Beaver Trail leads to wine country. There's a slip
under every
skirt. Although that's not so much true anymore, I don't think. Now, the thing is, I think that step 13 is banging a newcomer, though. I don't think it's getting in a relationship with one. I don't know.
Usually it's people with time banging newcomers.
Yeah.
You know, the newcomer thing, like I said, that's...
And what is considered time in that case? When do you have time and when do you not have time? I mean, like, do you get to bang a newcomer up until you're 1 year?
Sure, why not?
2 years?
Sure, why not?
28 years?
Oh, no. There's a line somewhere in between there.
Shelly? Where's your line at, if you were single?
If I was single?
Mm-hmm.
I think before I'd go on a date with somebody, they'd have to have at least 3 years.
No, I meant for you to be too old to date a newcomer.
Oh.
Because they say, like, well, newcomer, yeah, they could see that happening a lot more. How old do you think in sobriety you would have to be to be too old to go out with someone new?
A year.
Is the 13th step gender leaning?
The what?
Does the 13th step lean toward a certain gender more than others? Like a girl with 3 or 4 years who hits on a guy who's got 30 days, I don't think the guy's going to be real affected by that.
Guy is not even going to complain about it at all.
Nope.
Yeah, but he has no way of knowing if she's actually secretly a psycho bitch and is going to hound him and try to ruin his life and wreck his sobriety.
Yeah, but you don't
but
need
we don't know that.
You don't
with
need
anybody.
Sobriety to have that happen anyway.
Yeah, we don't know that from anybody. I'm trying to get something. Shelly is not being helpful here.
Well, excuse the heck out of me.
Oh, okay. So, Shelly. What are your final words on the 13th step?
It's not a real step. If someone tries to tell you that it is, now you know.
Ooh. Mark, how about you?
When it comes to relationships, it'd be a good idea if you learn to love yourself before you try to love somebody else.
Good one. This was handed to me by the Peanut Gallery. I like this. I'm going to use this. Relationship stands for really exciting love affair turns into outrageous nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Okay.
Shelley.
Yes?
People are listening to the show.
Awesome. Any other way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could log into recovery101.net, which is our website, and click on the show, then click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. If not, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can, if you follow us, then you can get updates and when we post the shows. You can leave topics and comments on individual shows. And what was the other thing? Oh, playlists. And you can add us to your playlists for all your boogie party needs, boogie woogie party needs.
So, Mark.
Right.
We have a friend back east.
We do. That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
You're at the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. Create a fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. Get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he'll send you some copies to strew about the facility. And if you would like all the information to get a 12-Step Gazette franchise in your little corner of the world, get a hold of Bruce and he'll help you out.
If you are on Facebook, we'd appreciate it if you like the Recovery 101 Radio Show Facebook fan page. We also send updates and things of that. You can send us topic suggestions and things through that as well. If you'd like to join a group where you can remain anonymous to the outside world, we have a Recovery 101 radio group, which is an invite-only group. If you ask to be invited, we shall invite you. You can talk to people on there without it showing up on your public news feed.
That's not how the group works. It's not invite only.
Really?
Really.
Don't they? Then why does it say that so and so has added so and so to the group?
You can add people to the group, but if you want to be a member of the group, you type Recovery 101 into your search bar,
right.
Find the group,
right.
And click Ask to Join. Then we don't invite anyone. People have to ask to join, and then we add them. There's no invitation. I haven't been to the engravers this week. There is no invitation.
You should ask or ask, because seriously, one's just murder.
Ask.
If somebody says, can I join, and you say yes, weren't they asking for an invitation?
Nope.
No, they're asking for...
permission?
Permission.
Okay. If you ask for permission, we'll let you in.
Maybe.
Probably. Unless you're a spammer, then you got to go.
I've only ever once said no to somebody. That was somebody who was trying to sell crap in the group.
Perfect.
Drugs?
No, it was like flowy
vapes?
Hippie skirts and crap.
Oh, hippie skirts.
What better place than a bunch of dope fiends? We also have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topic suggestions and boozy news and stuff to that. We also, if you'd like to join our crack advertising staff, that's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We certainly do not. Shelley, who's the lead on music by?
Three Dog Night.
Chuck Negron and the boys. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Question they're asking me. This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, cause I don't wanna see. Mama told me let's go. Mama told me let's go. That ain't the way that I'm up, no. Open up the window, let some air into this room. Choking from the smell of stale perfume. And that cigarette you're smoking,
I'll scare you half to death. Open up the window, sucker. Let me catch my breath. I told me.